بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back, inshallah, for this week's class on the fiqh of marriage. Inshallah, this is the 20th class in a series that we've been reading or covering from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Shaykh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And today we have a new and very beautiful hadith. Inshallah ta'ala, the brother will read for us the hadith, and then we'll talk about its explanation, inshallah ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المحلل والمحلل له رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وصححه في الباب عن علي أخرجه الأربعة إلا النسائي. Narrated Ibn Mas'ud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the man who made a woman lawful for her first husband and the one for whom she was made lawful, the men involved in halala. Reported by Ahmed and Nisa'i and At-Tirmidhi, the latter declared it to be sahih, authentic. Al-Arba'a, except for Nisa'i, reported something related to this matter on the authority of Ali.
Jazakum Allah khairan. This hadith is related to the nikah al-muhallal, which will be the topic for tonight's talk, inshaAllah ta'ala. The nikah al-muhallal, it means the marriage that makes permissible. And this nikah, or this type of marriage, is related to the situation that happens when a man has divorced his wife three times. The third divorce, which is irrevocable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَلَا تَحِنُّ لَهُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. Allah says, then she is not permissible for the first husband until she marries a second man, another husband, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. And this is related to the third divorce, which is an irrevocable type of divorce. Allah says, الطَّلَاقُ مَرَّتَانِ. Divorce is two times. There's two divorces which a man, he can take back or return his wife afterwards. But after the third divorce, the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تحل له. She is haram. She cannot go back to the man if he's divorced her three times. And the reason for this, the ulama, they say that the first divorce, it could have been due to some extraneous circumstances. The husband, he could have been upset. It could have been for a negligible reason. So he might have divorced her, and it would have been better off if he had patience, if he didn't become angry. So because of this, he became upset and he might have divorced her, and then he regrets it. He divorces his wife, but then he regrets it. He said, "Why did I divorce her? I was too hasty." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He permits. After the first divorce, he can bring her back. He can take her back after the first divorce. It's like this first divorce is an initial warning that there's something wrong, to tell his wife there's something that was wrong, and to show her, to teach her that she has to correct herself, and if she does, he can take her back at that time. And then when they get back together, they can try the marriage life again. They tried marriage life, he divorced her, they spent some time alone in the waiting period, and now they know how life is without each other. And so they can come back together and they can compare, was life alone good for us or was life together better for us? So it's an opportunity for them to reconcile after one divorce. And the second divorce also, sometimes it might happen, a person, he might divorce her, again, And this would be more hard on, more stressful on the couple, that now they're divorced two times. Now, should we really stay together or should we stay apart? It's a more a second chance that they're given, that if they want to get back together, they can still get back together. Even though the husband divorced his wife a second time, he can still take her back. They can still try life again together. They were separate, and now they know for sure what life is going to be like apart. Allah gives them this second opportunity, or the third opportunity now, to try to make the marriage work. Do they want to stay together? Can he live without her? Can she live without him? Now they know what it's like to be divorced, so they have another opportunity, a third, second chance to get back together. But what about after he divorced her twice, and then he divorces her a third time? Then after this, it becomes that they must be separated permanently, and they cannot get back together. And this is because the first time, the second time, maybe there was some love, there was some remainder of desire for them to stay together. But after the third time, this is showing that they cannot get along together. And out of protection for the woman from being divorced and taken back, and divorced and taken back, and for a husband to keep doing this, in the Jahiliyyah they used to do this to hurt the woman. The man he would say, I'm going to leave you neither divorced nor married. So he would divorce her, and when the waiting period came close to an end, he said, I take you back. And then he would divorce her again and do the same thing to her, and he would keep doing this to keep her in a state where she would be neither like a wife nor a divorced woman. So what Islam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تحل له. She cannot go back to the first husband after three divorces. They become haram. This is a final divorce. It's irrevocable. And he cannot take her back. So this is why Allah Azza wa Jal, he made this prohibition that after the third, this is enough. This is enough. They can't get back together. But the man who's going to divorce her for the third time, there's this very, very strict condition that he would allow him to get back and marry to the first wife. What happens is that she has to marry another man, and they have to consummate the relations, and then he has to divorce her on his own without agreement from the first husband. Then after her waiting period is over, she can come back to the first husband. This is the ruling after the third divorce. So the husband, knowing that he cannot take her back until another man has married her and had relations with her, this is heavy on his nafs. He won't issue this divorce easily, because he knows it's such a stern and difficult means to get back with the first wife. And so the sunnah, it clarifies and it makes it very clear that it's not simply the marriage. Hatta tankiha, the word nikah in Arabic, it can mean just as simply a contract. Somebody might think, I divorced my wife three times, she can go and make a contract with somebody and then just cancel the contract, divorce her after an hour, and then she can come back. This is what you would understand from the word nikah in Arabic. I'm sure Sayyid Sahib, you can tell us nikah in Arabic has more than one meaning. Nikah, it can mean the contract itself, or nikah can mean the actual relations between the husband and the wife. Or it can mean both. In the sunnah, it makes it clear for us what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah. Allah says, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified, when a woman, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she had been divorced three times, and she married another man. And so she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she showed her sleeve like this. And she meant to say that, my husband, he's impotent, I can't have relations. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he knew, he said, you want to go back to your first husband, isn't that so? And he said to her, no, until you taste from her osayla and she tastes from your osayla, meaning you taste each other's intimacy. So the Prophet ﷺ made it very clear, she cannot go back to the first husband until they have both had marriage relations to each other. And so she couldn't go back, she had to consummate that marriage first. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ clarified in the sunnah, so we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla, by this ayah, when he says, she must marry another man, there must be complete relations before she can go back to the first husband. And so we see because of this heavy burden of marrying another man, and having relations and living with him, and then he divorcing her, and her, then her coming back, some people came up with a trick. They said, a person, he divorced his wife 3 times, and he said, let me find a man who will marry my wife, my ex-wife, for 1 night, and divorce her, and then I can marry her again. This is called nikah muhallil. Nikah muhallil. A man, he divorced his wife 3 times, but then he says to himself, I want to bring my wife back. I don't want to wait and see if she marries somebody else, and I don't want to wait for all of these things to happen. And I want to make that relationship she has as little as possible. So let me find a man who will make her permissible for me. This is what muhallil means. Muhallil means to make something permissible. So he goes out and he finds somebody, and they make an agreement that he will marry his ex-wife, and they will have only 1 night relationship. And then he will divorce her, and as soon as her waiting period is over, then she is now allowed to go back to the first husband, or so they think, by doing this trick. However, this marriage, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed it, the Prophet ﷺ, he cursed the muhallil wa muhallilillah. He cursed the man who makes the wife permissible, and he cursed the man who requested another man to marry his ex-wife. So the ulama, they state that if a person, he agreed with another man to do this, and they got married and he divorced her, she does not become permissible to the first husband due to the Prophet's curse. And not only that, the marriage was invalid, and this is zina that takes place. It's batil. According to the jumhur of the ulama, that marriage, nikash muhaddil, is an invalid type of marriage. And the marriage, it does not stay. The reason for this is that the second man, when he made the marriage contract, he intended it to be a temporary marriage. He didn't intend to, it wasn't a marriage of desire. But it was a marriage, just a temporary, he intends in his heart, as soon as I marry this woman and we have the relations, I'm going to divorce her. And for that reason, some of the ulama, they said that this type of nikah, it's like nikah mut'ah. It's like a nikah mut'ah. Mut'ah, they specify a week, a day, a month. And this type of nikah, they specify just as soon as the relations are done, he divorces her. So this is a prohibited type of marriage. It's haram. And the jumhur of the ulama, they say the marriage is invalid if that second husband has that niyyah. The marriage, it doesn't take place. It's invalid, it's batil. And this is the key here. It's the intention of the second husband. The intention of the first husband or the wife, it has no effect on the second marriage. The second wife, she might get somebody to marry her from her own intention that she's going to try to get divorced and go back to her first husband. But if that second husband didn't intend to make it nikah muhallil, then the marriage is halal. The marriage is fine. And the reason for that is the woman, she cannot divorce herself. The right of divorce belongs to the husband. So her intention doesn't count. Her intention has no effect on the marriage, because even if she wants to get divorced, she cannot divorce herself. What counts is the intention of the second man, the muhallil. This is the intention that counts. If he has this intention to divorce her after the first relations, then it is nikah muhallil, and it is haram, it is forbidden, and the nikah is batil according to the jumhur of the ulama. And we have a story in the time of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. A man came to him and he said, my uncle, he divorced his wife 3 times, but now he's regretting it so much. He loves her so much and he wants to get married to her. So is it okay if I marry her and then divorce her so she can go back to him? He didn't ask me to do it. He doesn't even know that that's the reason why I'm getting married. And Umar, he said, no, do not marry her unless it's out of desire for her. Unless you want to get married. Ibn Umar, he forbade him from doing that. So the ulama, they say that if there was no mention of the nikah muhallil during the actual contract, they're doing a marriage contract, the witnesses are there, the guardian is there, and they say, zawajtuka qabilt. But they didn't say anything about the nikah muhallil, but that man, they agreed upon it beforehand. As long as they had agreed upon it beforehand, that marriage is invalid. Even if they didn't say a word about even if it was just like an ordinary marriage in front of everybody, that intention will cause the marriage to become invalid. This is due to the intention. But if he marries her out of desire, and he thinks that he will stay with her, and then he finds something he dislikes and he divorces her, can she go back to the first husband? There's no harm, inshallah. She can go back, because he married her desiring her. He didn't marry her trying to make her permissible for the first husband. And even if he married her, and another example, if a man, he marries a woman, this woman who was divorced 3 times, she dies after a day, she can still go back to the first husband. So it's not the period of time. She doesn't have to be, you can't set a period of time that the second husband, he has to stay with the wife for a year, or 3 years, or a certain number of relations, they have to be together. That's not what counts. It doesn't matter how many times they have relations, how long they live together, what counts is the intention of the husband at the time of marriage. That is the only thing that either makes it invalid or makes it halal. And this is what we learn, this is one of the things that we learn from this hadith. And also we see the curse of the Prophet ﷺ, he made on those people who do this. Why did he curse the muhallin and the muhallilah? Why did the Prophet ﷺ curse these people who do this? So ulama, they mention a number of things. One, they say that marriage should not be this type of toy, but it should be out of desire for building a family, out of desire to have children. And there's many things that come about after marriage. There's relations between families, there's inheritance, there's a number of important things. So by doing this type of marriage, they're playing around with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're playing around with this important institution that Allah has enjoined for society. And this is not to be made light of the words of marriage, as Allah says, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. The women, they have taken through a powerful contract. The marriage is a powerful contract, not something to be made light of. Also, the ulama, they say that when studying this hadith, they say that the scholars ask, is it permissible to curse a specific person or not? This is now that we talked about the fiqh of the hadith itself, but what about the cursing? We see in this hadith, la'ana rasulullah al-muhallil wa muhallilalah. The Prophet ﷺ, he cursed the man who made her permissible and the one who requested that be done. So when it comes to the la'an, the cursing, are we allowed to curse people, individuals in Islam? Is this something permissible in Islam? The ulama, they say that we are not allowed to curse a person specifically, even if he's a kafir. We are not allowed to curse individuals. But the cursing of a category of people or a group of people, this is permissible. This is, Allah says, La'an Allah al-kafirin, La'an Allah al-kafirin, La'an Allah al-zalimin. Allah, He curses the disbelieving people, He curses the evildoers. But if we speak about a specific person, then we're not allowed to curse that person. We can curse the action that they do. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah curses the people who change the landmarks. What does it mean they change the landmarks? They have somebody owns a property, and there's a certain post for a fence, and that's demarcating the edge of his property. So what does he do? He moves the fence back a few feet to give himself more of the property. So the Prophet ﷺ, he cursed people who do this. So this category of people, people who usurp others' land wrongfully, people who do dhulam, people who do evil, these people, they have the la'an, they have the curse. So this is a category of people. But when it comes to an individual, a person, whether he's Muslim or not, how do we know that person might not make tawbah, might come back and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La'an, it means to be thrown out from the mercy of Allah. It means to be cast away from the mercy of Allah. So if we make la'an on a person, even if he's a non-Muslim, what happens if he accepts Islam? Then what happens to that curse? The ulama say the curse comes back on the person who said it. So it's a very important point that the ulama say, that we should not choose a specific person to give the la'an or to make the la'an. And even they say Iblis himself, we should not make la'an on Iblis. And the reason for that, we shouldn't make it a habit. Because if a person curses Iblis out of anger, then Iblis becomes puffed up and proud. And he said, look at how much I've affected he becomes bigger by cursing him. And he thinks that he has a lot of authority and power to affect people. So that a person, he should not curse even Iblis in order to prevent him from becoming stronger and powerful. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not curse shaitan, but seek refuge in Allah from him. لا تلعن الشيطان لكن استعيذ بالله منه. Do not curse him, but say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And this is also so the tongue doesn't become accustomed to cursing. If we curse Iblis and we curse people, then we might end up cursing someone else. And once the Prophet ﷺ, he was with a caravan with some camels, and there was a woman, and her camel stumbled, so she cursed the camel. She said, "Lanatullah alayk." So the Prophet ﷺ, he told her, "Go you back with your camel, don't stay with us." He said, "There's no cursed things with us." See how much the curse, he said, "I don't want any cursed thing with my companionship." And he sent her back, even if it's a camel. So the curse, it means distancing and casting out from Allah's mercy. And it shouldn't be directed, we should never direct it at a specific person, at an individual person. And in one narration, it came that the curse, if a person curses another, that curse goes and hovers above him. And if he's deserving of it, it afflicts him. But if it doesn't afflict, he's not deserving of it, the curse ascends to the sky and it tries to find a door to enter in the heavens, but it cannot. And because of that, it cannot find a door, it comes back on the person who said it. So this is a very very terrible or strong dua to say to somebody, La'natullah, that means that may the person be cast out from Allah's rahmah. We cannot say that to an individual. But if we look at the text of this hadith, it doesn't say curses be upon Zayd or upon Abu Jahl or upon Fir'aun. It says curses be upon category. Are the people who do this action. The people who do the muhallil. So it's as if the curse is on the action itself and not on the people. There's no person or no specific individual being named in the hadith. So when Allah says, La'natullahi ala al-kafirin, the kufr, we can curse kufr itself. La'natullah ala al-kufr, ala shirk. But a specific person, even if he's a non-Muslim, how do we know that he might reach hidayah one day? Maybe he will become Muslim. And we see Abu Sufyan, who was so much opposed to Islam, now we say, radiyallahu anhu, he accepted Islam. So the curse should not be towards a particular person, but the language of this hadith, it is directed towards the action itself. It's the action of the people who do this. Now what about if a person is dead? If a person is dead, can we send curses on them, like Fir'aun or Abu Jahl? The ulama, they say that because their actions are sealed, then there's no harm for the curse to be upon them, because they cannot ever make tawbah now. They died on a state of kufr, so their actions are sealed, so even if somebody makes curse on them, there's no chance for them to make tawbah and to repent from that. So there's no harm, no specific harm in that. Although, some of the ulama mentioned that what benefit does one get from cursing the dead, except perhaps angering some people. You see some of those, they curse this person or this historical person, and it creates ill feelings and hatred towards some certain groups of people. So what benefit is there in cursing certain individuals that might lead to ill feeling? And even that individual, if we think he died on kufr, how do we know if this personality, he might have made tawbah before he died? So we don't know if a person, he might have made tawbah or not. We find in some of the texts that mention some scholars that might have had misguided ideas that took them out of Islam, they say the Mu'tazila, the rationalists. But how do we know they didn't make tawbah before they died? So to curse a person, it doesn't bring any benefit, because their deeds are already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know if it will just create ill feelings with others who are alive and cause not bring any benefit for us. So this hadith, again, finally, is cursing that action. That action of going against the command of the Prophet ﷺ of making the nikah al-muhallil. Wallahu ta'ala fa'ala. InshaAllah ta'ala wa jazakum al khair. So this is what we had for today. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And inshaAllah, if there's any questions, inshaAllah, you're welcome. Yes.
You have a question?
Sure, alhamdulillah.
Talaq, you said three times.
Yes.
Is it on you know, like talaq, there is period of talaq, like first talaq on this time and then after such period second
yes,
talaq, or
yes.
At the one time you can say three
times? Very good question. This is actually the subject of divorce is a very, very big subject. It's not something we can complete in one sitting. There's a lot of types of divorce, a lot of differences of opinions, and a lot of details. Inshallah, we're going to talk specifically on this, the three times divorce. But just very briefly, many of the ulama, or the majority of the ulama, the four madahib, they say that the three times divorce counts as three. This is the four madahib. If a man, he says to his wife, talaqtuki, 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 three times, you're divorced three times, he says that, then it counts as three according to the majority. The four madahib, they say that. Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, he was of the opinion that Allah says, "At-talaqu marratan." And marra, it means time after another time. Like marra, it doesn't mean immediately, but it means one time happened, and then she had the waiting period, he took her back. Then the marra thani, then he divorced her again, there was a waiting period, he took her back. And then, فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا, the third time, then she becomes permanently divorced. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, and Ibn Qayyim, his student, they had that opinion that it counts as one. That a divorce to a woman who's already divorced and in her waiting period, does not take place. What happens is he has to take her back and then he divorces her again. This is his opinion, and it's outside of the form of Zahid. Some of the ulama, they say the reason why he made this opinion is because there was so much nikah muhallil in his time. He said he lived at a time where there was a lot of corruption. And so many people, they divorced their wife three times and they started paying people or using people to make halal nikah muhallil, or they would make this trick to marry another man and then come back to the first husband. So Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, his ijtihad or his thinking, some of the ulama say this, is isn't it better that we try to look for an opinion that says that the three count is one, and he can keep her and he doesn't have to go to this nikah muhannad. That was what some of the ulama said, that in his time there was so much corruption, he found this other ijtihad which would permit her to come back without marrying another person, and that is why that was one of the reasons why he gave that ijtihad. Wallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Inshallah, we'll talk about it inshallah in the future.
Is there only one
alim
who said that?
No, the Shaykh
Imam Hanbal is
in the school of Imam Ahmad. The school of Imam Ahmad, it says that the three counts as one. I'm sorry, it says the three count as three. The school, the madhab of Imam Ahmad and his students, they say three counts as three. This is all four of the madhab say that. Ibn Taymiyyah, he was from the school of Imam Ahmad, but he had his own ijtihadah. He was such a great scholar that sometimes he had his own opinions on certain matters. And he reached that level where he had studied all of the ayahs and the texts of the hadith and the usul, and of course his knowledge is very vast, so he was able to make his own ijtihad. And sometimes you find in different madahib, Abu Yusuf, he disagreed with his teacher Abu Hanifa so many masail. And Imam Nawawi, he was in the Shafi'i school, he disagreed with Imam Shafi'i in certain matters. So sometimes the students, they have their own ijtihadat. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, he had this ijtihad. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, and then many of the ulama afterwards, to this day, we have many of the ulama from Saudiya, from the land where they follow Imam Ahmad, and they hold strongly to the opinion of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. And by the way, in almost all of the countries, even whether they follow Shafi'i school or Hanafi school, whether it's Egypt or Syria or Pakistan, when it comes to this matter, the three times divorce, whose opinion do they follow? Ibn Taymiyyah. they follow Ibn Taymiyyah because
in
of
Pakistan?
Even in Pakistan, in the law, if you go to the books of the applied law, the judges, they give the ruling according to the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah in order to, because it so causes so much difficulty in the society. This is also in Syria, and I studied the law, and they follow Hanafi law in the personal law. But when it comes to this specific issue, they say it's permissible to take other opinions, and they say there's great benefit to the society by taking the opinion of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, and so they apply that, his specific ruling in that case.
If we take this opinion, then the first talaq and then the man take the wife back.
Yes.
Within the period. Okay. And then, you know, when for some point of time he divorced again.
Yes.
So this is the second divorce, or is going to be considered first again?
No, it's the second divorce. It doesn't start over again. The counting it.
But
the
you
man,
took her back.
When you get married, you have three divorces with your wife.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It. We cannot. It, even if you take her back, it the one already counts against you. And this is for the protection of the wife, right? If you kept taking her back, you start over again, you divorce her again. The man, he can keep doing that and leave her in limbo. You know, she doesn't. She's neither free, and he keeps taking her back. So this is a means where Allah Azza wa Jalla set the limit. At three, after that she can go and perhaps find somebody else, inshallah.
Last question. Sorry. It's
okay.
You said the right of divorces with the man.
Yes.
What is the position of talaq?
Okay, the right of the talaq, it means the unilateral right to divorce. The unilateral means he has the full authority to divorce himself or divorce the wife. This only belongs to the husband. The talaq and the raja and the returning is the right of the husband. The wife has no say in the matter. She wants to be divorced or not, he divorces. He wants to take her back during the waiting period, she has no say in the matter. But when it comes to the khula'a, we're going to cover this also, inshaAllah ta'ala, but a woman, she can request from a judge or request from the husband to divorce her in exchange for some wealth, some money. She might say, you know, she doesn't, for some reason she cannot bear the marriage, so she says to the husband, I'll give you back the mahar, I'll forgive you whatever you owe me a mahar, just divorce me, let me go. So he divorces her. This is called khula'a. The divorce is initiated, or the request for the divorce is initiated by the wife. The husband gives her the divorce in exchange for some wealth, some benefit. This is called
But if he doesn't want
if he doesn't want to, she has no recourse, except she can go to a judge.
Yes.
If he's harming her or he's absent for a long period of time or for some other reasons, then the judge, he can issue the divorce himself. But if she requests a divorce without any reason, then this is sinful. The Prophet ﷺ said, any woman who requests divorce without reason, she will never smell the scent of paradise. So it's a big sin to request divorce without reason. And likewise, Imam Ahmad, he said, a husband who divorces his wife for no reason, he said this is also sinful. It's wasting the marriage that one should protect. So divorce should only be for a reason. And the woman, she can only request it if she has a real reason. She can't bear the husband. Maybe there's some quality that she cannot bear. Then she can request the khula, inshallah. Any other questions?
In Pakistan,
a
big scholar, Mufti, they always, you know, listen to them. They said, you know, talaq is done three times.
Yes, that's the hanaf. That's the form of that, and they say that. The three divorces count. Three divorces count as three. But what I'm saying is, in the personal law, if you go to the books of law that are in the, you know, when what they call the ahwal shakhsiyah, the inheritance law. These laws, if you look in those books, when they wrote them down, they took the rukhsa, or they took the dispensation from Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. Doesn't mean everybody's going to follow it. Doesn't mean that.
What should we follow?
Don't. The best thing is not to get it yourself into the situation. Right? Wise person. Why does the husband have the right of divorce? Do you know why the wife doesn't have the right for the divorce? If she was given the right to divorce, she's so very emotional by nature.
Mm-hmm.
She might divorce herself every day, or, you know, she gets upset with her husband, you know. So out of a rahmah, Allah made it that she has to go through a judge or to get the divorce. But for the man, he's supposed to use his aql more. He's supposed to be more rational in his decision making. But if the man acts like the woman and he's emotional and uses the divorce anytime, then it's as if he doesn't even deserve the right to have that divorce. Allah gave it for the men for a reason, because by nature they're supposed to be more rational. But when we come to today, unfortunately many men, they don't use that right in a proper way. They use it in a very haphazard way.
I've seen in Pakistan, in a lot of families, you know, they have to divorce 3 times and that's finished,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Depends on, you know, what happens. What they need to do in that case is go to a person of knowledge, and whatever he adjudicates between them, then they have to follow that, you know, they have to, whatever that person of knowledge.
In Halala, you said the second husband, they have to consummate the nikah. Their intention is good. But what, without consumption, the husband dies. Then she has to marry again to someone else.
Right, right. In that case, if he didn't consume the marriage, because the Prophet ﷺ, I told you the story of the woman who said that she went like this and she meant her husband was impotent. So she was actually, the reality is he wasn't. But she just wanted to find a way to go back to her first husband. They didn't consummate the marriage. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, لَا حَتَّى تُذُوقِي أُسَيْلَتَهُ وَيَذُوقُ أُسَيْلَتَكِ. No, until you taste of his sweetness and he tastes of your sweetness. What did he mean? Of course, is a symbolic meaning that you have intimacy. So even if he dies or anything else happens, there was no intimacy, then she cannot go back to the first husband. Allah Ta'ala. Yes.
What are the conditions where the divorce is invalid? Are there any certain occasions where somebody is saying?
Right. This again, we're going to go into inshallah in the coming durus. Inshallah, I don't want to, you know, there's angry. Is he drunk? If he's drunk, if he's angry, if he was majnoon, you know, all of these are different ahwal, different conditions, and there's also differences of opinion. Not all of them are the same. There's different levels of anger. Etc. So there's certain times when he divorces her, when she's in her menses. Some of the ulama say it's haram. It's haram to divorce in the menses. Some of the ulama say it doesn't count. The majority of the ulama, they say it counts, although it's sinful. You know, he gets the sin. So inshallah, I'm glad you're asking these questions. That shows that inshallah, these classes will be very beneficial inshallah ta'ala, and we'll go into all of these very good, important questions inshallah.
Another point,
yes.
A Muslim is not a part of all the church.
Right, right. This is why we made this distinction here. Because how do we understand this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ cursed the muhallilillah, and then he said in another hadith, a Muslim, he doesn't curse. So what is meant by the hadith, he doesn't curse, means he doesn't say to you, or I don't want to point at anybody, he says to this person, you're cursed. Muslim should never do that. Even if he's a non-Muslim, kafir, or Buddhist, anybody, he should not say, you are cursed. We should not say that. We can say that mushrik, shirk is cursed. Kufr is cursed. The mushrikeen are cursed, meaning the action of shirk is cursed. But we should never point to an individual and say, this person is cursed, he's thrown out from the mercy of Allah. Allah's mercy covers everything. Rahmati wasiyat kulla shay. Allah says, my mercy encompasses all of his creation. The animals, the non-Muslims, every person, anybody could find the hidayah. Anybody could come to Islam. So this is why one should be very careful, especially with the children. One should never ever say to curse to his children or say anything. Should always make du'as of goodness for the kids, inshallah. May Allah bless them, inshallah.
That's why Rasulullah said that don't hate the person, hate this bad habit.
That's a good advice in general. Now, when you see a sin being done, it's because of the ignorance of the person. So if he learns, he can change. You know, a person can always change, inshallah ta'ala.
And the curse of the Prophet to instruct the people not to go there, not as he said personally.
Right, right. He didn't mention Zayd or Amr or any person who did it, but he's mentioning the people who did that action. Just like he cursed the people who changed the landmarks. He's not cursing a particular person. They're saying the people, this action of doing that, they're taking people's land wrongfully, they're cheating in a very terrible way. So that action itself is something that is to be cursed. You know, the people who do that, they don't deserve the rahmah of Allah. But any individual, perhaps Allah will show him mercy and he'll change his ways, inshallah, make tawbah. Inshallah. Yes?
What about if he could, did curse and he deserved it?
What the ulama mentioned is it's permissible because their actions have ended. There's no possibility of them making tawbah. So even if you curse them, there's no possibility that they're going to come to hidayah, so there's no harm in that. It's not a sin to do that. Any other last question? وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Just one second. Is there any questions from the sisters in the back? If you can send a paper up or a card, you're always welcome to ask questions, inshallah ta'ala. You have 10 seconds, inshallah. If there's any questions. خير إن شاء الله وجزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.